Going to be reading from verse 12 down to the end of chapter 5. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns round Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of his life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, or the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison, so they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain and the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and saviour to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honour by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus.
Thank you, Naomi. Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to see you guys here on this hot sunny day. Please keep your Bibles open at Acts chapter 5 as we look at it together. I want to begin by asking a question, and feel free to discuss this question around your tables. I'll give you a minute to discuss it. What is the most controversial reason that you think that you can be arrested for today? Now, I don't want any shock stories shared in mind. I don't want to hear about your dodgy pasts. But please share, what do you think is the most controversial reason that you can be arrested for today? Shall we? Okay, time's up. Sorry to interrupt your conversations there. When I was thinking about this question, what's the most controversial reason you could be arrested for today? A couple of examples came to mind. Now, you may remember on the news when a certain comedy writer, Graham Linehan, was arrested in Heathrow Airport for making a few comments on Twitter. Well, you may have seen on the news last week that the Met Police has issued an apology to Graham Linehan. If you remember the story, he was arrested at Heathrow by 5 armed officers for 3 posts he made on social media regarding transgender people. Now, setting his views aside, you can see how, despite his comments, might be hurtful. Does it warrant the need for 5 armed police officers at the scene since he touches down at Heathrow? Maybe a little closer to home, you maybe heard the news happening in Richmond of a woman who was fined £150 last October for pouring coffee down a public drain before she got on the bus. Some of you are freaking out, you're thinking, I do that all the time. Now that fine has been overturned, and they said she was polluting the water, and the court said, don't be stupid, and common sense has prevailed. But it's in these things that we think about some more arrests that have happened over the news across the UK and the US. Arrests where people have been lifted into custody for preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now these events are not unusual, because this happens all across the world around us, where it's known that many Christians have been arrested and suffer for proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. Even just last September, Russian pastor Nikolai Romanyuk was sentenced to 4 years imprisonment after speaking out in opposition of the war against Ukraine in a sermon in 2022 at a local church in Moscow. And in Manipur, India, a group of pastors were ambushed and shot at by armed militants who claimed that they were working for the government. They were shot at because of their faith. Now these things are shocking for us to hear. And whilst we aren't subjected to it as much in the West, we might still hear stories of Christian networks being unable to hold an evangelistic event in the workplace because of the powers that be. Christians being frozen out of promotion or even losing their jobs because of their witness. And people being so offended by even the name of Jesus that he'll do anything to shut it down. But what we see here in Acts chapter 5, our passage today, it shows us that the work and word of God cannot be stopped. And those who participate in this work will find joy in it, no matter what the cost might be. Let me just say that again. The work and word of God cannot be stopped, and those who participate in God's work will find joy in it, no matter what. Now, as we read chapter 5, verses 12 to 42, some of you may have noticed that as we read it, the events in chapter 5 feel very similar to the events in chapter 4. In chapter 4, Peter and John were detained by the religious leaders. And I think that there's a common spine that runs between the two chapters. And it helps us to see that these events aren't just linked, but they're also teaching a similar message. Part of that message is that there is joy found in suffering for the sake of the gospel. And as we look at chapter 5 in more detail, we will have confidence that although the gospel is offensive to some, it is precisely the proclamation of it that God will use to build his church. And so we're going to look at 3 things here today. Firstly, the work of God grows the church in the verses 12 to 16. Secondly, the word of God cannot be arrested or imprisoned, verses 17 to 25. And then finally, God's word is final. His work cannot be stopped, verses 28 to 39. Let's get stuck into this, shall we? Firstly, the work of God grows the church. Now, the events prior to this passage must have really shaken the wider Jerusalem community as the news goes out about Ananias and Sapphira, who were struck dead. Look at chapter 5, verse 11 with me here. It ends telling us that after Ananias and Sapphira died, great fear came upon the whole church and upon all those who heard of these things. And so as we come into verse 12, we see a continuation of what has been happening in Acts this entire time through the apostles. Look at verse 12 here with me. Verse 12 says this, "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest there joined them, but the people held them in high esteem." Now we read this, and Luke wants us to think, oh yeah, that's just what the people prayed for in chapter 4, verses 29 to 30. If you look at it with me, just across the other side of the page, where the people ask God, verse 29, "to grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And that's what's happening here. The apostles are performing signs and wonders as they heal people, but they are only doing so because God is doing it through them. He is proving his power as sovereign Lord. And as the word is also spoken with boldness, we see what the result is in verse 14. Not only were they respected in high esteem, that is a sign of integrity, but look at verse 14. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Now it's extraordinary to see this, especially after the events of Ananias and Sapphira. And yet what we see here is God at work as he builds and grows his church. His word is preached, that is the testimony of Jesus Christ. The word is backed up by signs and wonders, something that we see in the book of Acts. It is descriptive of that moment in time. And people are added to the church. All of it is the work of God who is growing his church. And this foundational truth is important for us to acknowledge, especially as we carry on looking at this passage. Because in a moment, the apostles will encounter opposition for their actions. Are they wrong for doing so? When we hear about others who face opposition for the name of Jesus, are they wrong as well? Can their words be considered hate speech, much like Graham Linehan's were? Well, what we see happening in verse 17 is that the apostles' teaching and God working through them causes jealousy to boil up inside the religious leaders as they have them arrested. But despite the efforts of men, we see in our next point that the word of God cannot be arrested or imprisoned. Look at what happens to the apostles in verse 17. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now the mechanics behind how the apostles got out of jail, it's a mystery. Did the angels drug the guards and stand at the doors at verse 23? We don't know. Probably not. Did they put an invisibility cloak over the apostles and sneak them out like an episode of Harry Potter? Probably not. But what we do know is that God broke them out. Why? Because he wants them to go and tell people his word. Look at verse 20 again. They are commanded to go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. These words being the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. This life that everyone must know of. This is God's word. And what's amazing about this is that those who are responsible for attempting to imprison God's word, the high priest and his band of merry men, they are, look at verse 24, greatly perplexed. They're flabbergasted when they find out that the jail cell that they put the apostles in is empty the next day. And what we see here is that no amount of security, be it a locked prison cell, guards stand by keeping watch, nothing can stop the apostles from going to preach God's word. Because no matter what they and any human being can do, the word of God cannot be arrested or imprisoned. The apostles here, what they're doing is they're setting a precedent to encourage God's people throughout the years that no matter what happens to those who speak God's word and make Jesus known, those who oppose the message of Jesus Christ, his divine nature, his earthly ministry, and his death and resurrection, they will not prevail. Because the word of God cannot be imprisoned. Nobody can stop it. And it's this message that has sustained Christians for centuries. In 1858, Scottish missionary John G. Patton, he sailed to the South Pacific island of Tanna. And he went there to go and tell a group of aggressive cannibal tribes that were at war with each other. He went to tell them the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Anyone who went there in the past, they were clubbed to death. Now, after 3 months, John's wife and his newborn son, they died of tropical fever. John had to sleep on their graves at night to stop anyone digging up their bodies and eating them, as he himself survived numerous attempts on his life. But in fleeing the island and landing on the neighboring island, Aniwa, he brought them the word that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that island, Aniwa, abandoned cannibalism, turned to Christianity. And the gospel then went from Aniwa back to Tanna, to the indigenous people there, where those who heard it then came to faith. It's just another wonderful example of how God's word cannot be imprisoned by those who oppose it. Over the years, in any geographic location, be it Jerusalem, the South Pacific, or even here at the Square Mile in London, God's word cannot be imprisoned. It will go out, because God will make it so. And we see the reason why in our last point, as we see that God's word is final. His work cannot be stopped. The apostles are found in the temple, as reported by one who told the high priest and the other religious leaders in verse 25. Look at it with me. Verse 25, someone says to the high priest and the religious leaders, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." And the captain of the temple guard here, being intimidated by the popularity of the apostles and their teaching, they quietly asked them to come along to speak to the council. Now, as I mentioned earlier, it all feels very reminiscent of chapter 4, doesn't it? It is a similar chain of events occurring. But instead of just Peter and John, who stand before the council, we now see it's all 12 of the apostles who are standing under trial in verse 27. However, despite whatever protestations Annas, the high priest, makes, look at Peter and the apostles' answer in verse 29. He says, "We must obey God rather than men. The same God who," verse 30, "raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God has exalted him at the right hand as leader and as savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." The temple and the high priest, God's word tells us that they were pointing forward to Jesus being fulfillment of these things. He is God's leader and God's savior for his people. Jesus came and made himself known as a way for all people to have a relationship with God, something that the temple and the high priest was there for. And despite man's actions, God's work couldn't be stopped. Instead, it was fulfilled. And now through his death, Jesus offers a way for those in Jerusalem to repent, that is, to turn to God and to find forgiveness for rejecting him in the first place. And we can see here that the apostles aren't making this up. Look at verse 32 with me here. The apostles say, "We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." God's word comes from the mouth of the apostles who are speaking through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this enrages the high priest and his merry men. And yet it takes one of the council members to point out the reality of this situation that we are reading of in this trial. This man, Gamaliel, who we are introduced to in verse 34, he is a respected man. And it's in his history lesson that we see the truth of what the apostles are assigned to. Look at verse 35 here with me. Gamaliel says to the council, "Men of Israel, take care what you're about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all those who followed him were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census, and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might be even found opposing God. Notice here these individuals that Gamaliel mentions, Theudas and Judas the Galilean. They're both attested to, by historical authors of that time. And Luke even mentions the census here, referring to Judas the Galilean, to help us place where the second uprising happened. It actually happened around the birth of Jesus. You can see that for yourself sometime in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. But I want us to see something significant about these two examples of Gamaliel before we look at his conclusion. Theudas died, and his people scattered. Judas the Galilean died, and his people scattered as well. But Jesus, he also died, but he rose from the dead. And yet nobody has denied Jesus' death. But the apostles are proclaiming something more than that. And more importantly, Jesus' death hasn't caused a scattering. Instead, it's caused a movement. A movement that can only be described as, if we use Gamaliel's words in verse 39, the work of God. Therefore, what we're seeing here in the book of Acts is that no matter what, the sovereign Lord's, God's word is final. His work cannot be stopped. And we see this as we conclude this chapter of the book of Acts. Despite giving the apostles a beating in verse 40, that is 39 lashes, which has been known to kill some men, look at how they respond in verse 41 after they've been told not to speak any more about Jesus. Verse 41, then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Two things we see here. Firstly, they rejoiced in being counted worthy to suffer, that is to follow the footsteps of the one they followed, and they did not cease teaching and preaching the word of God. You see, suffering doesn't mean doing the work of God is a vain task. The apostles found courage and boldness to do the work of the Lord because they faced suffering once, and to face it again gave them the confidence that it was for obeying the Lord that they suffered. They knew that because of what happened to Jesus, they don't have to fear the worst that can come their way. They trusted God, whose work is to grow his church through his word. The word and work of God cannot be stopped. And so, what are we to take away from this passage? Well, firstly, we can have confidence in the Lord no matter what comes our way. The apostle's suffering here is a testimony that we can have confidence in the Lord, continuing to preserve his people for his work so long as it is his will. When John G. Patton was facing numerous trials, including being surrounded by cannibalistic tribesmen, he later wrote these words about this moment. He says, "My heart rose up to the Lord Jesus. I saw him watching all the scenes. My peace came back to me like a wave from God. I realized that I was immortal until my master's work with me was done. The assurance came to me that nothing would hurt me without the permission of Jesus Christ, whose is all power in heaven and earth. He rules over all." Just hear these words again. "I was immortal until my master's work with me was done." God's work is that he will build his church, and he will grow it through the means of his word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are here making that word known, wherever he would have us, that is his will. We can have confidence that we are to be where we are, And so if you're in your office, that is where the Lord would have you make known His Son. If you find yourself redundant, then the Lord will have you somewhere else. If you find yourself moving jobs, the Lord will have you there too. Wherever it is, and for whatever reason you think you are there, anyone who is a follower of Jesus is to make Him known wherever they are and whatever comes their way. Now you might not think that you're very good at sharing the gospel, or you don't have that many opportunities in a high-octane, pressurized office culture that you work in. But remember the foundational truth that we've seen at the beginning. It is the Lord God who's at work in building His church. We are not His workmen. We are simply His tools that He uses. And so He will help you through the work of His Holy Spirit to equip you to speak of Jesus and what the Lord has done for you. And making known the good news of Jesus can be an intimidating thing, especially when the Word of God is rejected. But the second thing that we can take away from Acts chapter 5 today is that we're not to be ashamed when people reject Jesus as Lord. This will be expected. And hostility might even come your way. But that's okay. Because even if hostility results in you losing your job or finding yourself ostracized in the office, you can rejoice in knowing that you have been obedient to the Lord. And in His eyes, you have done nothing wrong. When you obey Him, rather than being peer pressured to not share His word, you will know the joy that is found in following the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. For unlike the likes of Graham Linehan, you're not just voicing an opinion. You're joining with others across history and across the world today, like the apostles, like John G. Patton, like Nikolai Romaniuk, who have all taken a stand to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. But if you're here today and you're not a Christian, then can I encourage you to see why Jesus is worth following? Consider why people who call themselves Christians are suffering for proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Consider why the good news of Jesus is still going out 2,000 years after this incident. And consider why this news is important for you to hear today. Verses 30 and 31, Jesus died and was raised to life so you can repent and turn to God. And in turning to Him, you can find forgiveness for sin. And you can know Him for yourself. This is the words of life. A life that is joyful. And you will find joy in the Lord, just as those who join in on the work of the Lord. The work and word of God cannot be stopped. And so find joy in what it speaks of. And take heart. For nothing and nobody can take that joy away if they stand against it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the great joy that it is to know Your Son, Jesus Christ. A joy that satisfies our hearts and fulfills every longing within us. Lord, help us not only to be joyful, but to share that joy when we go back into our workplaces. When we speak to our colleagues and even our superiors, Lord, help us to make Jesus known. Help us to not be afraid. Help us to not be ashamed. But Father, to trust in Your work and Your word as it goes out. To know that it is You who build Your church. And Father, You use us as part of Your gracious will. Father, thank You for this time in Your word. Pray You continue to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.